There are horrors committed in our world, which, when named, are thought of as a problem over there and not necessarily here. And that's, by the way, exactly what the perpetrators of this harm against humans are hoping you'll think. Want an example? How about human trafficking? When you hear that term, you probably think of it being an issue in places like Asian or South American countries. Well, that's so, why does a state like New Jersey have what many consider to be the toughest laws regarding human trafficking in the United States? Someone obviously saw there was a need for them. My next guest joins us to examine human trafficking in America and preview an upcoming multi-location seminar on human trafficking, which will be on Saturday, June 15th in New Jersey. Here from the Church and Community Abolition Network is Mandy Leverett. Thanks for being here today, Mandy.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me and featuring this. It's an important training and mobilization where every year in the last 10 years, we've helped rescue area missing children with law enforcement because of these hotel outreaches. This is the first time so we're making history again, that every hotel and motel will be reached at one time.
And I mentioned, too, it's a multi-location event in Wayne at the Oasis of Grace, Hackettstown Mountaintop Church, Bridgewater at Evangelical Chapel, Blackwood at the Bethel Church, and Little Lake Harbor Township at the New Life Community Church. You can find out more of this event that we're going to be talking with Mandy about at canfreedom.org. And yes, we have a link over to our website as well for your reference. To what degree is human trafficking a concern here in New Jersey? Have we seen a significant rise, or is it just more people are noticing, paying attention, and for a change, getting ahead of the situation?
I would say it's all of the above. I've been doing the work we do, building it up based out of New Jersey for the last 21 years. But the first victim I ever assisted was in Washington State, and that was over 30 years ago. We didn't call it human trafficking back then. It's not a new issue. In fact, I have a good friend of mine who over 50 years ago in an Irish middle-class community in Long Island, she was trafficked and all of her siblings by her own mom. Wow. So it is not a new issue. It is not just primarily a foreign national issue. When we started talking about this in the United States 20 years ago, we thought it was mostly foreign nationals. Now we have the stats and the understanding, and it rings true with the service provision that we've done nationwide, which is 83% of the victims of human trafficking in the United States today are our own citizens. And for most of them, it starts between the ages of 11 to 14. So that's fifth grade to ninth grade. So it's happening in all sorts of our communities, our businesses, and even in our schools. In fact, there's a growing scenario where middle school students backed by gangs are trafficking other middle school students while they're in school, and it's happening in the student bathrooms. So this is the hideous problem that is hidden in plain sight, and we are building an army of everyday abolitionists to identify it, to prevent it, detect it, end it, and heal it. So I thank you for bringing this particular outreach is a catalyst to even greater awareness and training people that within their professions, within their communities, will know what it looks like and will know how to report. So the numbers are going up, not necessarily because the problem is that much bigger than it was last year, but people are reporting. But we have noticed that more people are getting involved in selling other people because it is so lucrative. So, for example, people who'd never normally hurt a child are getting involved because it is so profitable. So greed is driving it. Also, the rise in demand, things like pornography, which it's tied to a lot of issues, including creating the supply demand, luring and grooming our children online. So because those things are so much more accessible, we're finding that rise in demand. We have to target this issue at all sides.
Does the human trafficker lure in victims through force, or is it through making it sound inviting to come on in because we got something good for you here?
All of the above. And the law says human trafficking is the commercial exploitation, commercial being the use of or the exchange of money, goods, or services, by the use of force, fraud, or coercion. So they usually use one of those forms. In the case of minors and sex trafficking, they don't have to prove force, fraud, or coercion for it to be considered human trafficking. But we definitely see all forms. A real common form, especially when you're talking about kids, is luring and grooming with using things like pornography, boyfriending, girlfriending people in. And it's not just in our cities. It is in our suburbs, our rural communities. We opened a survivor home out here with partnering with Hoving Home in New Jersey because a lot of our victims couldn't leave the state. And so we do trainings in schools and throughout the state, but there was a targeted effort in the region where our survivor home is, and which is a very rural area, almost to Pennsylvania. And there was a student that was met a boy online who was fiending to be a someone that needed help that was homeless. And so she had planned to meet up with that kid and give him supplies, survival supplies. Well, the parents found out about it, took the number that they were communicating on, gave it to law enforcement. They traced that number to a Canadian human trafficking ring. So had she met that kid to kindly give him supplies, she would have just been another missing kid on our poster that we give to hotel staff in these outreaches. So that's how easy it happens. They lure and groom in a lot of different ways, and sometimes they're very opportunistic. They'll snatch and grab. We had last year we did our regional hotel outreach in the Lehigh Valley region, which includes rural PA and New Jersey, because a national trafficker was found operating out of that area, harvesting those rural kids and taking them nationwide. But a lot of times kids aren't even taken. They're actually coerced to comply and willfully go on along with it. Because maybe there's this thing called sextortion where they have pictures of an individual and they escalate it by saying, we have a picture, so show us more. And eventually they get to the point where the person is feeling trapped, like they have to traffic. And so it's all of the tools you can think of. They're in all of the spaces where our kids are. They're in all of the spaces in business, and there are indicators specific to every profession. That is why CAN is professionally accredited to train professions to know what it looks like, and then also what to do about it safely, and also to use their skill set to help heal the wounds of human trafficking in our society.
And also to alert people that, unlike what the impression is, that it's an issue over there somewhere else, that it is indeed here in literally your backyard. We're talking with Mandy Leverett from the Church and Community Abolition Network. Their website is canfreedom.org about their June 15th, that's Saturday, event happening in multiple locations throughout New Jersey and Wayne at Oasis of Grace, Hackettstown, Mountaintop Church, Bridgewater, the Evangel Chapel, Blackwood, that Bethel Church, and Little Lake Harbor Township of the New Life Community Church. More information, again, at the CAN website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. So talk about what the mechanics of the event is going to be. What are your goals, and what's the process? What's the agenda going to be?
Well, our ultimate goals are to build an army of everyday abolitionists and to create services within reach of every survivor. That's our overall goal in Jersey and nationwide. We are piloting this first ever statewide hotel outreach. We're going to use this model in additional states as we move forward. But today, what it looks like, it's pretty simple. Through those five locations, we will be taking a human trafficking training. We'll hear Teresa's story and how this started in collaboration with us 10 years ago. She was a victim who was a student in high school who met her trafficker. He was also a student in high school, and this was decades ago before we had our law. And when she was trafficked, she lived a normal life at home. She lived in a good community, she didn't have any of the indicators that people think about. So we share her story so people can understand how easily it happens to kids just like the kids in our communities and how it can be happening to someone while living a normal life at home. So they take the training, then they mobilize in teams of three or four, and the teams go out to the hotels and give them three things. Bars of soap labeled with a hotline number for that self-rescue piece to be placed in the bathrooms by staff. Then we give them posters of pictures with updated pictures of area missing children. And that's given to the staff to view. And then we give them packets of information and indicators specific to front desk, specific to housekeeping, so they know what it looks like. And then we offer them a training if they need, but this is a very simple thing. We're giving them the freedom tools to, within their profession, safely help rescue missing children, working with law enforcement, working with our statewide service providers, so that kids can run free. This particular event is very special to us because we are doing it in honor of a young girl, Rafaela Alba, who her family is so vested in this issue, and they not just this outreach, but they've been doing amazing work in the Philippines and all over New Jersey. But she just passed away. She's the pastor's daughter of one of our host locations in Wayne. And so we're dedicating this particular outreach to her, because her whole life she spent in a wheelchair, and we know she's able to run free now. And so that's our goal for kids across this nation and across New Jersey, that as a community is identifying this, assisting with rescues and building resources, that they will be able to run free.
This program also sounds, too, like it has a two-part education process. First, those who attend the seminars in one of the five locations on June 15th, but as well for the hotel industry that you are going to approach with the tools that you equip these people with, because a lot of hotel people, again, don't realize what kind of center they could potentially be for this crime being perpetrated. And as far as the event, Mandy, is a registration required? And if so, how does someone do that?
Sure. It's very simple. You go to our website, canfreedom.org, and you click on whichever location is nearest you, and you sign up for your tickets. Tickets are free. You just have to give your email and your name, and then you show up that day.
And again, the locations are Wayne at the Oasis of Grace, Hackettstown Mountaintop Church in Bridgewater, the Evangel Chapel, Blackwood Bethel Church, and Little Lake Harbor Township at the New Life Community Church, Saturday, June 15th from 9 a.m. until noon. It is indeed one of those opportunities to make a difference in the life of someone else, doing good work and furthering the education about an issue which many people neglect, dismiss, except for those who fall victim to it. For them, it becomes a very real horror. Canfreedom.org to learn more about the event. More importantly, sign up for it and be a part of the team of the Church and Community Abolition Network. We've been talking about this with Mandy Leverett. Mandy, thank you for the work, the awareness you raise. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.